Amen. Words matter. Words create. We see that every day. They can create unity or division, whether in a family, in a church, or in a nation. And golly, haven't we seen that these last few years? Words matter more with the authority of the speaker. So when Dr. Bloomfield speaks about public health, his words carry a lot more weight than when I speak about it. Words matter. Authority matters. So let's listen when the greatest authority speaks. Right at the beginning, in Genesis 1, the Bible opens with these magnificent words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There can be no doubt that John wanted those words to echo in our minds when we heard the words that open his gospel. Magnificent words that precede our reading today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that was made has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John was anchoring those words from his gospel in the book of Genesis in the very beginning, declaring to all his readers the mystery of the incarnation when he declared Jesus to be the Word of God. In John, it is not the traditional Christmas story we are all familiar with. Those stories are in Matthew and in Luke. As we have heard those familiar stories of Jesus' birth over the last few weeks, we have really rejoiced in them from Luke and Matthew. We've rejoiced in the children's nativity play, which is always a highlight of Christmas. We've rejoiced as we've sung those wonderful carols of the shepherds and the angel and Mary and Joseph. We have entered into the mystery of God through those stories. Luke's account centers on Mary, a terrified Mary as the angel appears to her, with the astonishing news that she will give birth to the Savior. It is the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, the shepherds, of Anna and Simeon. There is hardly a mention of Joseph. But not so in Matthew's account. We hear the story from Joseph's point of view. As a man of honor and as a man of compassion, we hear his thoughts and his feelings. We see his obedience to God when God says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." It is an account of Joseph, of dreams, of angels, of Herod, of the Magi. John's account is not a story like that. It is not the story of the incarnation. It is the theology of the incarnation. It is an unmistakable declaration that Jesus is God. So having established Jesus' full divinity, John moves to his humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt means tabernacled or pitched his tent. God pitched his tent among us. Or I love Eugene Peterson's translation in The Message. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God has moved into our neighborhood. I don't know about New Year's resolutions and how many you've made, how many you've broken. I've broken one already, and it's only January the 3rd. But it's not too late to make another one. May I suggest memorizing those first 14 verses of John chapter 1? Go for more if you want to, but that's a good start. And don't memorize just so you can recite it back. Memorize to meditate, to savor the words, to digest them, that they might dwell within you. Let them move from your head to your heart. It doesn't matter how bad your memory is. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Stay with each phrase until it is written within you. If it takes a year, that is a year very well spent. Sometimes it's easier to do it with someone. If you want to do that, give me a call and I'll be happy to do it with you. Then these will not be just magnificent words. They will be a revelation, or to use today's word, an epiphany. In the church year, January 6th is the Feast of Epiphany, 12 days. They are the 12 days of Christmas. And we celebrate it by the coming of the wise men and the offering of their gifts. The word epiphany has seeped into our language in the last few years. So when we use the word, it's somebody who has a flash of insight or an aha moment. We call it an epiphany. In biblical terms, it is a showing, it's a manifestation, it's an uncovering, it's an unveiling, it's a revelation. And we apply it particularly to the wise men. It is shining the light on something. It is all about the light. Or in John's words, our eyes are opened to see the true light that lightens every man that comes into the world. In our reading from Ephesians, it's obvious that Paul had an epiphany. We see it clearly in the passage Adrian has read to us today, talking about spiritual blessings in Christ, being adopted into God's family, about forgiveness and redemption and new life, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Paul's story didn't begin there. It began as a young priest and rabbi when he watched Stephen being stoned to death in the persecution of the early church, and he assented to that. And then he has a mission on his road to Damascus, going to persecute the Christians in the early church. But something happens. A light comes upon him, a light so bright that it strikes him to the ground. And he hears the words of God to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It was a conversion. It was an epiphany. His conversion, his epiphany, is one of the most dramatic in all of history. But epiphanies don't have to be so dramatic. I remember the first time I had what I could call an epiphany. Our family went to church, as all good people did in my growing up years. I played the church organ, I taught Sunday school, I even rang the church bells for weddings. But that didn't mean that I knew God. It was only when I heard some young adults talk about discovering God for themselves, how Jesus was present in their daily lives, how they repented and turned to God, found cleansing and new life. As I too embraced Christ, I found Jesus to be a living presence, a saviour and Lord, a companion and a guide that I wanted to follow and love and serve through my entire life. It was as though I'd been stumbling around in a dark room, and now somebody had turned the light on and I could see. It was an epiphany. There have been many smaller epiphanies since then, and if I would talk to all of you, I'm sure you could give me stories of your own epiphanies when God drew near and you sensed his presence. For Jesus is the light that enlightens every man that comes and woman. Every person. Jesus is the light that enlightens every person that comes into the world, John tells us. For each of us, the light has come, the light has dawned, and the light overcomes the darkness. This year will hold its own share of darkness. We know that. What if, right at the beginning of the year, we were to look for the light in the midst of that darkness and follow in the steps of those wise men who sought to find the Christ? This year, has epiphanies for each one of us. Let us seek, let us find, let us worship. Amen.